Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TIC-FM, and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Robert Ashcroft. He is head of strategy for Avelo Airlines. The company recently announced one of its East Coast bases would be Tweed New Haven Airport. Good morning to you, Robert.
Hey, Aaron, how are you? Pleased to be here.
Well, first of all, Robert, Avelo is a startup. You had your first flight in April. Tell us about the airline.
Yeah, so this airline, the founder of this airline is my boss, Andrew Levy. He and I started talking about a carrier like this actually back in 2015. In 2016, he ended up going to become the CFO of United, and that was a gig he thought he couldn't turn down. I, in the meantime, went off and worked for Amazon. And then we kind of got back together beginning of 2018. Amazon wasn't for me. He had kind of figured out that being the big airline, United, wasn't really necessarily for him. And so we resuscitated the discussions we'd been having. Both of us had worked at an airline called Allegiant, which is a little airline. Actually, it's a lot bigger airline these days, based in Las Vegas, that had been very, very successful when we were there. And in fact, is still quite successful today. And we wanted to take the things we'd learned from there, the good and the bad, fix the bad, emphasize the good. And we thought there was a lot of opportunity. Now, of course, this is 2018, pre-COVID. And I think in 2018, it was something like the 9th or 10th year in a row that the airline business had made a profit, which is very unusual in the history of the airline business. And so we went out. We found a little airline that we had previously identified as being a good candidate, then called Extra Airways. We bought it, or to be more exact, Andrew bought it. In August of 2018, we spent 2019 raising money. We closed our transaction January of 2020, just in time for COVID to hit us on the head. In fact, the timing was actually, given that COVID was a disaster for us, it was that timing wasn't as bad as it could have been because we had yet to make a lot of commitments. So we spent most of 2020, as everybody else did, first trying to figure out what COVID meant. And then we kind of picked ourselves back off the floor and we started the process of transforming what was then a little charter airline into a scheduled carrier. And our timing seems to have been reasonably good. The industry is definitely coming back in a big way, at least for domestic travel, or at least for domestic personal travel, I should say. Business travel and international travel, neither of which is a focus for us, is still not quite there yet. We launched, as you said, in April in Burbank, California. But about sometime during the summer of 2020, we noticed that there had been some changes at Tweed New Haven Airport. And those changes related to the fact that historically that airport has been under a lot of restrictions as to the amount of service it can have. And it managed to get itself out from under that. Now, Tweed is an airport that I've been aware of for a long, long time. My main skill, to the extent I have one in the airline business, is what's known as planning, which is determining where an airline is going to serve, how much it's going to serve, you know, that kind of thing. And we'd always liked the location of New Haven Airport, but it was historically under these restrictions. It got out of those restrictions. And I think normally that would have been big news, except that it happened just at the dawn of COVID. And so while it was a little bit hidden from most people, we noticed, we reached out, we started talking to the authority. There's a very bright guy there who runs it called Sean Scanlon. They had a third party, which is Avports, who was already in the mix. And between the three of us, we kind of came to an agreement that would relate to all the things that we would have to do at the airport to make it suitable for us to serve there. Came to that agreement event, late in April. As you know, there was an announcement in May with a big wall of politicians. I thought it was very impressive. Two U.S. senators, the governor. I mean, that's quite a turnout. It's one thing to have that kind of turnout for July 4th. It's another thing to have it in favor of an airport. And so here we are. We plan on starting service at New Haven in the third quarter. We're not quite ready to reveal where we're going to fly yet. I think that probably many of your listeners, you could probably guess some of the places we'd fly. It's not too hard. This is where we're at.
Given the popularity of certain routes up the road at Bradley and that you're focusing on leisure travel, I'm guessing down south, maybe Florida might be places you're looking at.
Yeah, well, it turns out a lot of people in Northeast do like to go down to Florida. So that's an astute observation. I'd be very surprised if some of our first routes didn't involve Florida. Now, whether we'd first go to Central Florida or South Florida or West Florida, who knows? That's pretty much, I'd be shocked if it wasn't, if Florida wasn't among the first few routes we announced.
Talk a little more about Avelo's strategy of going into airports that are lower cost and easier to get into and out of.
Yeah. So, cast your mind's eye back to before COVID, and, the airline industry had been on quite a run. And one of the things that you had seen was especially many of the coastal airports in the country had really grown tremendously in terms of throughput. And they were beginning to groan under the strain, right? So whether it's JFK or LAX or any of these other big airports, it was becoming increasingly difficult to get to them. And then when you were at them, there was quite a bit of congestion both on the land side and on the air side. So in terms of air traffic control and all the rest of that stuff. I mean, an observation would be that it is probably takes you at least a couple hours longer today, or at least pre-COVID, to get from downtown New York to downtown LAX than it did in the 1960s. Because it's just a much, much more involved process, whether it's getting out to the airport or through security or out to the runway or any of those things. So, at the end of the day, air travel is, in our view, one of the things that it's about is convenience, right? I mean, if one of the things I like to say is if there was suddenly an economic way of beaming people from point A to point B, the airline industry would collapse overnight because people only fly because it's the fastest way to get to where they're going. And so when the value proposition of air travel is eroded by congestion, we start thinking about what could we do at airports that are convenient to a significant number of people, right? And I think that's one of the things that really attracted us about Tweed is the closest airports to somebody who lives in New Haven are about 50 miles away, whether you're talking Bradley on the other side of Hartford, or you're talking about Westchester County in New York. And if you take a look at the data, it suggests that actually a lot of people in the New Haven area, over 50%, use the New York City airports, which is quite amazing because they're at least 70 miles away from New Haven. And as you know, those are some pretty arduous roads. And then once you get to New York, your fun has kind of just begun. When you take a look and think about airports in the country where you could provide a huge amount of additional convenience to the people who live around them, Tweed kind of stands out. There are some other ones that I have in mind, but New Haven was always one where I was like, even 10 years ago, because I'm an airline geek, I'm an airline planner. It's my job to know about airports all around the country and the possibilities. Tweed clearly stands out as one where if you can get something going there, you really stand to be able to provide a tremendous amount of convenience to people who at the moment have pretty limited options for air service, outside of driving a considerable distance. That's one of the big motivations for our business model. There's if you take a look at the West Coast airport that we started at, we started at Burbank, which is a secondary airport of the LA area. I say secondary airport, actually, Burbank is at least as close to some key parts of the LA area as LAX is. And of course, it's a heck of a lot easier to use, right? So you're from the gate to the curb at Burbank is literally minutes, and then you can get into your Uber right away. The experience at LAX is very, very different from that. Not to say that LAX isn't a great airport in some other ways, but if what you're looking for is a quick getaway after getting off your airplane, Burbank blows it away. That's kind of a very similar motivation to our interest in Tweed. Did I address your question?
Absolutely. You are listening to Face Connecticut. Good. We are talking to Robert Ashcroft. He is head of strategy at Avelo Airlines, making Tweed, New Haven, one of its East Coast bases. Robert, what does that mean to be a base? What sort of investment does that require on the part of the airline?
Yeah, so the way that we do things, you know what a hub is, I'm sure. You know, you fly in on one airplane, you connect, and you fly off on another. That's not the way that we are going to do things. So we refer to it as a base because it will be an operating base. And what that means is we'll have a certain number of airplanes that will actually spend their time there. And we'll have the mechanics, we'll have the pilots, we'll have the flight attendants, and they will all be using New Haven as what's known in the industry as a domicile. This is where they're located, right? And then all the flights that we'll be flying out of New Haven will be nonstop. And so we will be going out and back, right? So whether to Florida or some other city, outside of Florida, the airplane will go out to where we're flying to and then come back. All the airplanes and all of the crew will come back and spend the night in New Haven. And so it's a bit different. There are other airlines in the world and in the United States that operate this way. Our prior airline, the one that I was at back in the past decade, from 2006 to 2010, Allegiant, operated in exactly the same way. It's a very inexpensive way to operate, and it's also a very reliable way to operate because the airplanes get to see mechanics every night. And so that's what we mean by a base. There are actually a couple of big airlines in Europe that operate this way. Ryanair, which is kind of a giant low-cost carrier in Europe, operates this way. And it's like I said, it's tremendously reliable. We figure we want to offer what people want. And what do people want? They want a nonstop flight. So that's all we offer. We do not offer connections. And in not offering connections, by the way, that enhances your reliability because if you think about a connection, both sides of a connection have to work. And so essentially you're tying the reliability of the entire journey, not just to one aircraft flight, but to two. And so for us, it's just a cheaper, more reliable, and better way to operate.
What airplanes will you be flying, and what will it be like to be a passenger on Avelo?
Yeah, so we have, we will be flying 737-700 aircraft. We expect them to have 147 seats. It's all economy seating, but a fair fraction of the seats on the airplane, about one third of them, will have extra legroom, which people can buy up to if they're so inclined. The standard legroom on the aircraft will be just fine. We actually have an inch more than many of our competitors, and people out in Burbank have found it to be quite acceptable. So we're pretty confident that the basic product will be nice. What we're looking for in general is to remove hassle from the overall experience, okay? And that extends to the basic concept that we were looking for, quite aside from the network planning, was we want this to be a pleasant experience, Okay. And so we have gone to quite some trouble to figure out the kind of crew member who we want. And we have gone out and sought that type of crew member. And the early returns are that they're doing a fantastic job, right? So my view is that from a passenger comfort standpoint or a passenger experience standpoint, you can make a lot of customers fairly happy with, you know, a relatively simple set of criteria. Are we going to get you there? We want to get you there safely. We want to get you there reliably with your bag, right? We want to get you there for a good price. And we want to treat you with respect the entire way. And that includes respect for the fact that you've handed over your hard-earned money to us, respect for your time, and respect for you as a human being, you know, just basic pleasant interaction with you. And so we have gone out and selected our crew members with that in mind. And we have also ensured that the overall experience is straightforward and easy to understand. We want to set a very clear set of customer expectations. Then we want to exceed them a little bit, right? And we find that to be a winning proposition. It sounds simple, right? But this is, in fact, an incredibly complicated business, right? Because and it's just this. I was on a call yesterday where we were just talking about the seat numbers that we were going to put on the what were we going to number the rows on the airplane, right? And you might think that that would be a relatively straightforward thing to do. Nothing that touches an airplane is straightforward because everything is subject to the very stringent regulations of the FAA. And that's a good thing for everybody, right? And so just the same way that there are tremendously stringent regulations about the electronics in the cockpit and the parts in the engine, even the placards that indicate what row number you have, subject to the same incredibly stringent regulations. And so, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, our value proposition sounds simple. It turns out to be in the background, very complicated to deliver, you know, so keep it simple. It turns out to be one of our company values because, again, it's an inherently complicated business and it's our job to essentially hide the consumer from as much of that as possible and deliver to them a very simple, straightforward, and above all, pleasant experience. We're not always going to get it right because, you know, nobody's perfect, but we're going to do our damnedest to do so.
One of the things I noticed on your website is that you charge more for a carry-on bag than you do for a checked bag. Does that help keep things flowing on the deplaning and, you know, boarding process?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, one of the things we struggled with when we were setting this thing up is what should we be charging for bags, right? Back in the day, nobody charged for bags. Today, there's just one airline pretty much that no longer charges for bags. We thought that what was being charged for bags was typically a little bit more than we thought was warranted. So we just charged $10 for the first bag. We do charge a little bit because it does cost something to provide. But as you point out, we also then charge more for a carry-on bag than we do for the check bag. And you're right. It's all about making sure that we can get people on and off the airplanes quickly, because as you've probably noticed, on a full flight, on the average, on an average airline flight in the United States, it gets quite involved with people, you know, making a mad rush to get onto the airplane first so they can get to the overhead bins, and then people, you know, taking things on and off, off the overhead bins. And it absolutely does slow down boarding and deplaning. And that is something that we would like to make a little simpler and a little easier. Now, whether we've got the exact right prices for those things, you know, we're only about a month into our journey here. And, you know, we certainly expect to revise things along the way because, again, nobody's perfect. But yeah, that general philosophy is one that we tend to agree with, which is that we'd actually prefer people to check a bag. Now, if we accept a bag and people check a bag, it's kind of up to us to make sure that we get it back to people that can split. Because again, that goes along with ensuring that the experience is a good one. But yeah, correct observation, and you hit the nail on the head.
Now, in our last couple of minutes, talk to us about what is going to be happening at Tweed between now and your launch from New Haven.
Sure. So if anybody's ever been to Tweed Airport and taken a look at the existing terminal there, it is quite modest. Now, this doesn't frighten us particularly, but it does mean that to do the things that we want to do will require that we give it a little bit of a modification. We're doing this in cooperation with the authority and with the operator there, Avports. And it just involves putting a few modular units. This is not a terminal that anybody wants to invest in. As you know, the long-term plan here over the next 3+ years is to move the terminal from where it is on the west side over to the east side, which is a far better place for it. But in the meantime, we do want to expand it a little bit with some modulars so that we can have the check-in throughput that we're going to need, so that there's a bit more space for people to sit comfortably waiting for the aircraft, and so that we can do baggage return. The baggage return facilities at the moment are beyond modest. That's the agenda. We're looking forward to that happening before the end of the year. We actually expect to start operating before that is done, just in a very, very small way, because as I said, the existing facilities are fairly marginal. So that's the plan for the near term and the long term. As I said, Avports, and I don't want to speak for them, because I would encourage you to have them on your show. They are going to be, the plan is to build a new terminal on the east side in East Haven. It's close to some industrial facilities in the back there. It's a much more suitable long-term location for a terminal.
Quickly, before we let you go, does anything have to change with the runway before you can start flying 737s in and out?
No. We can operate these aircraft safely off the existing runway. The airplanes that we are using in California are a slightly bigger version of the same aircraft. We're using, out in California, we're using 737-800 aircraft, which hold 189 seats. We would be using 147-seat 737-700s, which is a smaller aircraft. And we're using those specifically because we're much more comfortable operating those off the existing runway. So we expect to be able to take people to Florida and to other places from this runway. For instance, the runway at New Haven is 5,600 foot long. You may be familiar with the fairly busy airport in Orange County, California. It has a 5,700 foot runway. And so it's not unusual for commercial aircraft to operate off of runways that long.
He is Robert Ashcroft, head of strategy at Avelo Airlines. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.